kicking it back to Saddam.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. A couple thousand companies better get out their damage control handbooks. They're about to get whacked with an investigative report today. It alleges massive fraud in the UN's Oil for Food program. The report says 2,200 companies gave illegal kickbacks to Saddam Hussein's government, $1.8 billion total. A lot of the firms are Russian and French, a very small percentage from the United States. But companies from 66 countries are named in the report, which comes out later this morning. The Oil for Food for Kickbacks program ran from 1996 to 2003. Now on to kickbacks of the legal kind, the ones the IRS gives people. For some reason, thousands of Americans haven't collected their tax refunds this year. Come again? Our Tess Vigeland is dumbfounded, too.
It's been more than 6 months since tax day, and some 84,000 taxpayers haven't collected their refunds yet. That's $73 million worth of givebacks from the Internal Revenue Service. Where are you people? The taxman's spokeswoman, Michelle Lamishaw, says there are reasons that money is still on the table.
Frequently what happens is people will move and not leave a forwarding address, or they will leave an address that has some incomplete information on it and the post office can't deliver.
So if you think some of that money might be yours, head to the IRS website. Lamishaw says the average refund is $871. Those left without addresses because of Hurricane Katrina can apply for new refund checks. If you think you're owed a refund but never filed your return, you only have 3 years to get it done. I'm Tess Vigeland for Marketplace.
How much of that hard-earned tax money that some people don't want should go to flood control? A House subcommittee takes up that issue today. As Sam Eaton tells us, if New Orleans gets an upgrade, what about everybody else?
Washington may have promised New Orleans bigger and better levees, but the billions of dollars in federal funds needed to do it would make New Orleans the exception among U.S. cities facing flood risks. And Republican Representative John Duncan says in politics, exceptions don't fly.
We're starting to get requests from communities all over the nation.
Duncan chairs the House Water Resources and Environment Subcommittee. He says whatever happens in New Orleans will set a new national precedent for flood control, and New Orleans may not be happy with the outcome once lawmakers start doing the math. But University of Maryland engineering professor Gerald Galloway says the status quo is unacceptable.
If you're going to provide protection, you have to provide it at the right level and with the right reliability.
No matter the cost. Otherwise, he says, the federal government has to tell people in high-risk areas the truth, that they're on their own. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Traveling on the company dime will cost more dimes next year. American Express Business Travel says airfares will go up 3-6%, hotel bills 1-3%. The credit card company says higher demand for business class seats on planes is driving prices higher. A spike in the 10-year T-note compounded inflation fears on Wall Street. The Dow dropped 32 points to finish at 10,344. The S&P 500 fell 5 to 1191. The Nasdaq gave back 9 points. Those Treasury bond yields are the highest in 7 months. You're listening to Marketplace. The U.S. government requires diversity in the workplace, but a new survey finds it pays to be diverse anyway. Marketplace's Hillary Wickay explains.
The Society for Human Resource Management says having a diverse workforce reduces costs and improves profits. The association surveyed 400 human resources leaders and concluded that if a company wants to remain competitive, it better diversify. HR professional Ed Hubbard says diversity affects innovation and market share. He says it especially affects spending associated with turnover, given that it costs 1.5 times a worker's salary to replace them.
If we have 3 times the rate of people of color leaving an organization, if these people had stayed, what would have been the cost reduction?
78% of the HR leaders who responded to the survey said diversity practices help cut their spending. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management. HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org. By Toyota, designing vehicles with hybrid synergy drive for fuel efficiency and low emissions. More at toyota.com. Toyota, moving forward. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. All this week, Marketplace takes Manhattan. New York has been a first stop for immigrants almost since the 17th century Dutch called it New Amsterdam. But in today's expensive New York, it's harder for immigrants to make it. A lot of them are moving to other cities, places with better opportunities and lower costs of living. We sent Elisa Roth to a language school to find out whether New York is still a gateway for the land of opportunity.
They come to Kennedy Airport, not Ellis Island, and head to the outer boroughs, not to the Lower East Side. But for these people, New York is still the place to chase the American dream.
Yes, I find it. I find it. But I didn't find my English.
Amin Flah came to New York from Syria 8 years ago seeking political asylum. He's an older man with thinning hair and mournful eyes. He was a pharmacist in Damascus, and he sometimes works in his son's pharmacy here.
For a long time, I dreamed to come to New York only for their democracy and their liberty. You can do what you want.
Well, you can do what you want to a point anyway. Even in this most multicultural of cities, it can be tough to move past the low-skilled, low-wage jobs that are the mainstay of the immigrant economy. It was a friend that drew Pergo Bucha to the city from Cameroon several months ago. He has to bide his time until his immigration status is settled so he can go to school.
New York is good for people who want to start something. No matter in which area or in which domain you want to start, I think you can find it here in New York.
To these foreigners, the city seems full of possibility. It's hard for them to talk about the city as a tough place to survive. For most of this group, New York is better than where they came from. Pabida Mardakhayev says he was an ear, nose, and throat surgeon in Azerbaijan. He's still working hard to learn English, but already he can express how he feels about the place.
I want to say some shocking words. I can't stay anywhere but New York.
Life in America is not how he envisioned it from Baku. He planned to practice medicine here, but language skills and a long credentialing process stand in the way. Even so, he's optimistic about the future. Already, he says, New York feels like home.
I am here for about 5 years, but I feel that I was born in New York.
Born here, he says. But the member of the group with the most established roots in the U.S. is also the most cautious. Keisuke Amarume spent the last 25 years commuting between New York and Japan, working in Japanese restaurants.
This is the best place if you have a lot of money. You can enjoy your life, everything in here, but depend on the money.
His comments draw a round of head shakes from those sitting around the table. And if you don't have money?
It's a hard time. Maybe worse place in here.
His companions nod in agreement. In New York, I'm Elisa Robb for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
Every night.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.